Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
...able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
97.1 FM Talk. Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
I have devoted my entire life to serving the city that I love, where I was born, and I'm going to continue to do that. All the way to victory in November.
And she knows it's on. I hope she's ready, you know, because I literally could not be more excited.
Ooh, that's got a nice beat, and you can dance to it too. Spencer yeah. Pratt's music there. That's Karen Bass, who is the incumbent mayor. Let's go to the left coast and visit with our good friend, Dwayne Patterson from hotair.com and the Dwayne's World podcast. Good afternoon. How are you doing post-primary day?
Oh, you know, I'm in suspension just like everybody else is here, waiting for the other half of the vote to be counted. Hello, Mark. Hello, Sue. How are you?
We're good, but, I mean, we legit can't even handicap this because it takes so long to get the votes in, right?
Yep. Because they've got to figure out now how many votes they got to manufacture and mail into themselves to figure out how this works.
Well, it's great chatting with you, Dwayne. We'll talk next Wednesday. I appreciate it.
Actually, let's walk through this because I'm actually not as doom and gloomy as I would have been yesterday, and I'll explain why. If I've got a little runway here, I'll tell you what's going on.
Of course you do. Yes.
Okay. So, governor's race and the mayor's race is really similar in that if it was a head-to-head, if it was one Democrat and one Republican, right? If the Republican in the primary isn't ahead, or in the general isn't ahead by 10 points, right, by election day, if they don't build a 10-point cushion on election day, after 37 days of mail-in ballots that are going to come into the state, including you can actually fill out your ballot and put the stamp on it and get it into the mail 2 weeks from now, right?
Wait,
it's insane. It's insane.
Okay.
It's insane. But that's this is Guatemala. This is how we do elections here. So for the next 37 days, ballots are going to come in God only knows when they were when they were filled out. So if you don't have a 10-point win as a Republican, they're going to manufacture enough votes, and 80% of the votes that are going to come in are going to be for the Democrat, and you're going to lose. It's just how it's going to be.
Yeah, look, we have a microcosm of this here in St. Louis County, where votes over the years for St. Louis County Executive have looked somewhat maybe promising for the Republican, who will never get elected in St. Louis County. And then all of a sudden, North County votes come in late, and boom, it's for the Democrats. So, we are a little familiar with that here.
Now, here's what's different this time. These are both jungle primaries, so that everybody left or right is on the ballot, and there's 50 people on the ballot, right? And so only the top two advance. Well, two of the three are Democrats in both of these races, and there's one Republican that's in the top three. Right now, at the top of the ticket, Steve Hilton is in first, over Javier Baqueria, Joe Biden's aptly named.
No, wait a second here. Because the one thing about Becerra that I call him Xavier Becerra, but I hear people call him Javier. Does he go by both names or something?
No, it's because when Joe Biden, the President of the United States, nominated him to be the Health and Human Services Secretary, as addled as Joe Biden was when he left office, when he nominated him in the run up to inauguration day in December and January of 21, he said, "Here is my Health and Human Services Secretary," and he's standing right beside him, and he turns to him and he says, "Here is Javier Baqueria."
Oh, that's why you said the name that way. Okay, oh my goodness.
That's how he introduced him.
That is unbelievable.
He didn't know him from Adam when he nominated him.
And by the way, we have a real-life example of some of that more from Joe Biden last night at this event for Jill's book, and I'll play that audio a little later. I'm sure you're familiar as well. But here, this is what's interesting to me, is look, right now, and it says 60% of the voting. Karen Bass has 34% of the vote, 172,720. Spencer Pratt, though, 151,000 votes, but these are still low numbers, right? And you got an area that's got millions and millions of people. Do you expect the numbers? Because usually when you get early numbers, sometimes they hold. I understand what you're saying about Democrats, but can we kind of expect that Steve Hilton is going to be in that runoff and that Spencer Pratt is going to be in the runoff as well?
Here's why. Because it's not what place you're in now as a Republican with two Democrats that are around you. It's how far you are from third place. And right now, both of them are both about the same distance from third place. If you look at Steve Hilton, he's about 8-9 points ahead of Tom Steyer in third place.
Right, exactly.
Right?
Yep.
Okay, so that's not the 10% rule. You're only at 8%, but now you're in a three-person race, meaning unless that magically the however many 45% of the vote or whatever it is that's going to come in the next 37 days, 80% of that would all have to be Tom Steyer votes and not Becerra votes. And the odds of that happening organically are
very low.
I mean, there's
no way that's going
to happen, right? They're going to be split between the two of them, so he can't close an 8-point gap. Look at Spencer Pratt. He is in second place to Karen Bass, but he's 8 points or so ahead of Nithya Raman. And if Raman was going to surpass him, 80% of the vote that's still to come would have to be for Nithya Raman. And you've got to think that Karen Bass is going to get a chunk of those.
Of course. Yeah, that just makes sense mathematically.
So,
by the way,
I think they're both going to make it.
One thing that's interesting to me, and I saw this in the LA Times, I don't know if this is a big deal. It seems like a big deal to me. You are also electing a superintendent of public instruction, California Superintendent of Public Instruction.
Sonia Shaw.
And she's in the lead, a Republican, right?
Oh, thank God. I haven't seen her race, but man, the state needs her in the worst way.
That is amazing.
Love her to
so,
pieces.
But doesn't that, don't these numbers look, I find it, you know California a lot better than I do, okay? I find it very difficult to believe that in the end, in November, that Karen Bass is not going to be elected mayor. But I think Steve Hilton has like a legit shot at this point.
He does.
Yeah.
He actually does at this point, just because the state is so blinking corrupt.
Right.
At some point, everybody's looking around going, you're telling me we can't do any better than this. It's he actually has a chance. I'd say it's still an uphill climb, but if as long as he's still got a chance in November, there's still lots of fraud that's going to come out in California between now and November, and all that's going to play into Hilton's hands.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. It really is. So let's talk about, there's a couple other things. I'm going to spend a little bit of time here in the 5:30 segment talking about Grant Plattner. I want your take on this quickly, just because I feel like I'm missing something here. Everything about this guy is despicable. And I know that Republican candidates have some baggage too, but the way that they're not backing down from him is rather crazy to me. Chuck Schumer and, you know, Bernie, obviously. Yep. Now, you still think that in the end, the Republican, Susan Collins, is going to win that. But, you know, obviously, Plattner is making this interesting. So any new interpretation of that whole crazy situation out there in Maine?
The worst is yet to come on Graham Plattner. I've got this on multiple accounts. There is a story percolating in one of the bigs. See, here's the thing about Graham Plattner. And you know that cut from Chuck Schumer, that montage where he said the same thing over and over and over again.
He said the same thing.
We're going to beat Susan Collins, and we're going to take over the Senate. And he said it a thousand times. The thing is, he had that Cheshire Cat grin on his face. And I talked to Jim Talent about this on the podcast last night. I know he was just on with you and just closing the triangle. He was on Hugh's show today that I produced. So
that's so funny.
It was this weird triangle. And there are no finer gentlemen in the country than Jim Talent. I adore that man more than you could possibly know. He is a genuinely a nice man, but I've treated him for years as my own personal poli-sci professor.
Oh, I know.
He has forgotten more than we'll ever know.
He spoke very highly of you as well. But you talked about Hughes. So let me ask you about this, because this kind of is flying under the radar. This guy out in New Jersey, Adam Hamaway.
This guy will be the most radical member of the House of Representatives by a lot. He'll make the squad look conservative if he wins. And given that it's New Jersey, he'll probably win.
So my understanding is he actually testified as a witness for the defense for the blind sheik.
He defended the blind sheik, the guy that tried to blow up the World Trade Center the first time.
Yeah.
That our friend Andy McCarthy prosecuted. No, the guy's not a good guy. And, you know, between him and Plattner the Nazi and Mohammed El-Sadai in Michigan, there are just all sorts of creeps going on. Here's the fun part. The Harvard-Harris poll. Did you see this poll?
No, I don't think
yesterday?
So. No.
Harvard-Harris just came out with a brand new generic congressional ballot map amongst just registered voters, not likely voters, registered voters. It's a D+1 situation right now. Among likely voters, it's a D+2. Now, Harvard-Harris is a reputable pollster. They've been wrong before, but they've also been not too far off. If they've got a pulse on it where it's no longer D+8 country because they're fielding a bunch of just wacko candidates, and it's really more like a D+2 map, then all of a sudden, things aren't quite so bad, are they?
Yeah, well, the quality of the candidate matters, and this is true on the Republican side, but you're right, because that kind of stuff could certainly get exposed. Let me ask you, just because I've been celebrating for nearly 24 hours, but your thoughts on Scott Pelley. Now, that got a little more interesting today. He fired back a little bit. Barry fired back in a conference call. I just went over some of that. But, I mean, the arrogance of Scott Pelley thinking he's bigger than the institution that is CBS News is quite something.
Now, I work for Salem. You work for KFK.
Odyssey.
You work for Odyssey, right? If Odyssey had announced that they were going to replace Becky, right, and they brought in a new SVP, and you don't like that new SVP, and so you come on the airwaves at the second day of the new week, which is Monday, you people are wrong. If they brought in somebody that you didn't like and you went on and said, because they let Becky go and they brought this new person in, blah, 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 and you went full Scott Pelley on the air, how long would you remain employed?
Not very long, especially with my HR file. It wouldn't take
Neither
long.
Neither would I.
Yeah.
Neither would I. The audacity that Scott Pelley and Jim Acosta and Don Lemon and all these clowns that got blown out for being doofuses that think they're entitled because that they are lefty journos and this is the way their world always worked, that they think they're entitled to guaranteed employment and that it's only going to that the journalism is only going to be done one way, the progressive way from now on, or else. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Enjoy
your time on a podcast that five people listen to.
It is ridiculous. And what was reported on this afternoon, because Pelly has fired more shots, he actually is making a claim, and it's hilarious, that they were trying to inject bias into his stories. He actually said those words. Does he not know who he's worked for the last couple of decades?
I know. Look in the mirror, dude. Look, I mean, just the amount of 60-minute stories that turned out to be utter propaganda and just full of nonsense is, you know, you would need both hands and at least a foot and a half to be able to count just in the last decade alone.
But people don't know. That's the problem. And, you know, you illustrate and highlight this. Hugh does. I do also. But let's face it, the majority of the country, they don't really understand the level of bias that, you know, is being imported from these legacy media outlets on them on a regular basis. Because let's face it, people are, you know, they're busy, they're following stuff on TikTok and on Twitter. And that's why I try to, you know, highlight it. But look, we're kind of preaching to the choir here. And the people that still think that CBS News or that 60 Minutes is the standard of journalism, they just have no idea what's happened.
Nope. Nobody's watching them as much. They don't matter. People are getting news from podcasts. They're getting news from radio. They're getting news from different outlets online. Nobody cares what Scott Pelley thinks. I'm sorry. He's just not that important.
He's not all that in a bag of chips. That's right. Hey, going back to a previous reference from the show, we were talking about why some people think Sunday is the first day of the week. We think Monday is the first day of the week.
You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You atheist, unbelieving person, you.
Is that why?
Here's the reason why. Okay. The Sabbath was always the beginning of the week, right?
Okay. All right.
Pre-Jesus, the Sabbath was, which is Saturday. As soon as Jesus rose from the dead, we Christians believe that, the first generation church started worshiping not on the Sabbath anymore, but on Sunday, which is when Jesus rose, Easter Sunday. That's when Easter, the first Easter, became the first day of the week. The first day of the week is the Lord's week, or is the Lord's day. So Sunday is the beginning of the week. It just is.
But
you don't like that, you take it up with God.
I'll take it up. Well, Jesus likes the NFL because Jesus used to spend a lot of money on those commercials that would run on Sunday. So I wonder if he would hold the same opinion. But Dwayne, it's always great to hook up with you. I appreciate it a lot, and we'll talk next week. Dwayne Patterson, appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
All right, we'll see you.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55-plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, ta-da! If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get two phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet rely on 2 lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
All right, I'm just sending out a little text message here to Dwayne Patterson as a follow-up to our previous segment. Sue's not in here right now, and I really kind of wanted her to hear this because I was confused by something. I was kind of like Joe Biden. I was confused, and this has to do with Joe Biden. So what happened was, and we played some of this audio yesterday, Dr. Jill goes on The View, and she did a couple other interviews as well, and we know that she did the CBS Sunday Morning interview when she said, and the audio leaked on this, you know, they were promoting it, oh, I think it was a week ago today, where they shared some of the audio where she said she thought he was having a stroke, etc. So she goes on the Today Show, and Craig Melvin, I thought, did a relatively good job by Today Show standards, if you will. I think Curtis Houck said that yesterday, of asking, you know, some decent questions and saying, you know, Dr. Jill, come on now, right? And pressed her a little bit. But then there was this audio that came out today of the former president, and it was confusing because it involved a reference to Whoopi Goldberg, and you might have even heard me reference this with a guest earlier on the show. I didn't know if it was something I missed yesterday from The View or if it was something that happened today. Now I have a little bit better of a handle on that. So what happened was, is there was a book event last night, and I think Fred's even said that he's familiar. They do this at the Y in New York City on Manhattan, where, you know, they do these interviews and book events, and Whoopi Goldberg was actually the moderator, and the book is called A View from the East Wing. And I didn't know about the whole thing with the Y. Hang on, I gotta press a pop-up that went right in front of my story here. But this is on the 92nd Street Y in the Upper East Side. And I guess Fred's even been there for one of these events. So Whoopi reads a comment from the audience thanking Joe Biden for his service. And Jill stands up. Jill's 75 now, stands up to give her husband a standing ovation when the ex-president's seemingly unplanned speech began. That's how the New York Post kind of wrote. So this is, and if you see it, I'm just going to tell you, you're going to say, okay, he's getting worse. First of all, we saw this 2 years ago at the debate. It was very awkward and weird.
Oh, Joe has a question. Like you couldn't ask it later.
Who do you love most in the whole world?
That's his question.
Whoopi. No. Uh-oh. I love you most, Joe. Was that it? Is that the answer he wanted?
I guess maybe you can call it sort of a fun, frolicking moment between spouses, but it was weird because Joe Biden had reverted. Well, I don't think he reverted. I think he's the Joe Biden that we last saw, where he looked very confused and he came up to the stage, and Jill even sounded like she was thrown off by that. But it was just like, ew,
yeah,
really?
It wasn't good.
That's kind of gross. And then let me get this in here because I'm so confused about this, and I heard some reference to this. Have you heard about the mystery men in the sewers?
No.
Okay. All right. This
what?
Is, This is Nate Foy from Fox, who's going to walk us through this. And let me see if I can get something to come up on it, because this is in New York City. And the City Department of Environmental Protection said that it is inspecting sewers because people are kind of seeing people kind of crawl into the sewers. Check this out. Listen.
It is quite the mystery, Jackie. We know so far of three instances, twice in Brooklyn last Thursday night into Friday morning. The first incident you mentioned back on May 5th here in Queens, when an auto repair shop owner saw three men walk into this street just over my shoulder and pop open a manhole cover just between those two rows of orange cones that you see in the street behind me. So take a look at this video. As you can see, the man tells Fox he was working late at night when he saw the three men at 2 a.m. popping open the manhole cover and temporarily stopping traffic. They climbed down, put the manhole cover back in place, and police say they stayed down there for hours.
I was born and raised in Astoria. I've seen a lot of stuff go down, but something like that was very strange. They popped the manhole in, they all went inside and covered the manhole, like, you know, they just like disappeared. Literally like the Ninja Turtles.
The NYPD investigated the sewer system. They say there's no threat to the public. No arrests have been made so far, and no one has been injured.
Okay, so kind of funny reference to the turtles there. But look, you start thinking about terrorism and what the hell else. It was a video that came out that seven people popped out of the sewer.
Now, here's where this has happened. I mentioned once in Queens, twice in Brooklyn. One source tells Fox the NYPD is investigating the possibility that the suspects are looking for valuables that fall into the sewer system. Now, during the most recent incident in Brooklyn on Friday morning, the men were seen emerging from the manhole cover with headlamps and carrying shovels. The city says that no infrastructure has been damaged to this point, so the mystery continues.
Yeah, the witnesses say they were looking for something because there were seven grown adults that went down there and they had shovels and they must have been digging for something. They called these people, somebody referred to them as there was a name for them. A group of, what was the name? Because this was kind of interesting the way that this media report, KVUE ABC, reported it. But basically, I don't know if it's nefarious or not, but there were three people that went into Hip Waiters in the first one, and then seven people that came out. There's a guy that owns a auto shop that says that the surveillance cameras recorded that a group of, here it is, sewer spelunkers. He said he couldn't venture a guess as to what the people did below ground, but worried they were up to no good. But this is my favorite, that the you know, the department, the sewer department in New York says... So I'm glad that we're going to share this, just in case people didn't know this. You ready?
Oh, no.
Sewers can contain numerous hazards, including noxious and potentially deadly gases, unstable surfaces, flooding risks, and confined spaces. For these reasons, members of the public should never enter a pipe, drain, catch basin, manhole, or outfall.
Let me write that down.
Yeah.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up, and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55 plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, ta-da! If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get 2 phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet Reliant 2 lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait. Am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
We have a Reardon Roundtable set for Friday afternoon. Former State Senator Jeff Smith, current political consultant, will be here. Also, GOP consultant Greg Keller. They always battle very well together on the Roundtable. And then in the 5 o'clock hour on Friday, the mayor of Grafton, Illinois. They are dedicating this amazing D-Day memorial this weekend, and that's Sue's father-in-law, Mike, Mayor Mike, and it's an incredible thing that they're doing there that's really going to become, I think, a national treasure. It's not just for the region. I want people to know about this. We're going to talk about it a little bit on Friday afternoon. We've spent much of this afternoon kind of handicapping and breaking down several of the races from, you know, the jungle primary in California, what happened in New Jersey as well. Now, they have another primary next week in Maine, and John Featherston is with us with the Maine Journal. I'm just very confused about this Graham Plattner story, and I think John's been trying to expose some of this and not getting a lot of cooperation. But John Featherston, thank you for coming on with me. Welcome to 97.1 FM Talk in St. Louis. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me. It's a great opportunity. Love to talk to you about it.
It's been one of those situations as I sit in the middle of the country, and, you know, politics is kind of my thing. We talk politics. I just don't understand it. It's like we're almost missing something because he seems to be such a despicable person with so much baggage, but the Democrats are still not, you know, dumping him. So what is the real story out there, John?
Well, you know, Graham Plattner was picked out of central casting by Bernie Sanders. You know, Graham Plattner is the male version of AOC. You know, a guy who is a theater kid who gives a good speech. He'll tell you that he's an oyster farmer. I'll tell you, I've dug into his financials. It's a hobby. He gives a dynamic speech, and he's got the grovelly voice, and, you know, the middle-aged women think he's handsome and macho. And at the end of the day, after the speech is over, he's really not all that bright. He's not all that really that quick on his feet. And, you know, his online history tells you that he's not a really good guy, if not a totally creepy guy.
Right.
And, you know, but, you know, he says all the right things. He has a digital team, you know, that got Mondani elected in New York City. So his ads are pretty glitzy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, every day something more comes out on him. You know, either it's in a porta potty or, you know, on Kick, you know, a pedophile site. I'm hearing, you know, rumors that another sexual allegation is soon to drop at any day now.
And, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm hearing, because I think what you know, because you follow this stuff, just to let the audience know, look, there's a big folder on Graham Platner, and some of that opposition research has been released, and some of it, the shoe is about to be dropped, to your point. But, man, what's fascinating and somewhat not encouraging, John, is that every time something like this drops, you know, Chuck Schumer and Bernie Sanders, they cozy up to him even more.
Well, I'm starting to see something a little bit different, though, because, you know, yesterday Schumer says we're going to beat Susan Collins. He doesn't say we're going to beat Susan Collins with Graham Platner. You know, some of the Democratic leaders, you know, we're still going to beat Susan Collins. One, no, you're not. And you weren't even going to beat Susan Collins if Platner wasn't a creepy guy. But number two, you know, Janet Mills, who is the two-term incumbent governor here, suspended her campaign. She didn't quit her campaign. She didn't, you know, didn't shut it down. She is reminding people that she is still on the ballot. And Maine has a law that the middle of July, even if Democrats want to remove Platner from, you know, the running, they can substitute somebody else. So I just I think we're hours, if not days away from, you know, hey, you know, congratulations, Mr. Platner, you won the primary, but we're still replacing you.
But let's let's talk about Susan Collins just real quick, because most of the people that I talk to that know your state and that talk about Maine, they do firmly believe, even if he is the nominee, that, you know, in the end, and she's been behind in polls before, that she will close the deal in Maine.
You know, Susan Collins has won multiple elections here in Maine. You know, she's not conservative enough for some people.
Right.
Some people say she's purple. But Susan Collins is Maine. She's a middle-of-the-road person. You know, Maine elects, you know, radicals and conservatives, and they really do. And Susan Collins has built up her institutional knowledge of local issues.
Mm-hmm.
Maine is a small population state, but a huge, you know, geographical state. She knows every police chief, every DPW director, every, you know—
That stuff goes a long way. Regular voters don't understand how, you know, we had a guy, and he's an establishment guy, I guess if you want to paint him as that, former Senator Roy Blunt, but man, was he good at the retail politics, you know, and that stuff matters. People remember it, right?
And most importantly, what Susan Collins does is she's the head of appropriations. She essentially handles America's checkbook.
Mm-hmm.
She's brought a lot of money, a lot of infrastructure, you know, fire trucks, police cruisers, built schools for people. That's important. And, you know, some people say, you know, Susan Collins is the fifth most powerful person in the federal government. Graham Platner will be number 100 in the exclusive 100 club. And he says he's going to go sit there and tell Trump what to do. No, you're going to go sit in the corner and do what we tell you to do. You know, it's, you know, the campaign ads don't match reality.
John Featherston is here. He's a reporter for the Maine Journal. Is it my understanding that you've kind of been blocked from covering Graham Platner at some of these events?
You know, that's very accurate, Mark. Originally, he was very open and friendly with me, and, you know, we got along and we communicated, and then I wrote some, you know, aggressive pieces on him. And then all of a sudden, you know, the main wires here, we're not allowing, you know, anybody to get access to Platner. You know, it used to be I could just walk up to him on the street, shake his hand, ask him how his day was going. And now, like, I was up in Lewiston. There was, unfortunately, some children shot. And he was walking down the street. And I said, hey, you know, what do you think about the gun violence in Lewiston? Pretty much of a softball question to any politician. He just walked by me like, you know, like he owed me money and stuff and just kept on walking. And then this past Sunday, he actually had a grown man in a bear costume block me from getting access to him as he's getting in the car. So, I mean, this thing just gets more and more surreal as the days go on.
One of the first things that I think the American people outside of Maine heard about Graham Platner was about the tattoo, right? And that, in ordinary circumstances, John, I think you would admit, would be automatically disqualifying. But in this case, it's not. So how is his excuse and his, you know, reasoning of that playing for Maine? Because that just seems to be one of those things that I don't know how anyone can get their arms around, that with someone that doesn't know what he's putting on his body permanently.
You know, his story has changed. You know, he'll tell you that he was a World War II historian and a buff, and then you ask him, like, well, that's a Nazi tattoo. And he's like, well, I didn't know it was because I was just drunk and I got it when I was drunk. And then I said to him, I said, well, listen, and I said this to him and he didn't like it. I said to him, I said, if you got a stain on your carpet and you put a throw rug over it, is the stain still there? Or just because you can't see it because he covered it up, his Nazi tattoo?
Ooh.
And he's like,
ooh,
what's your point? And
that's,
I'm like,
a good
you
question.
You still have a Nazi tattoo. You didn't get it removed. You had it covered up. And he's like, well, yeah, but, you know. And I said, no. I said, your tattoo is old enough to vote, and you're just now realizing it's a problem? you know. So,
John, those are great. I mean, look, that's great questioning, I think, and something that he should have to respond to. So the primary, correct me if I get any of this wrong, your primary is next week, right?
Next Tuesday.
And when it comes to, you know, because Susan Collins, she's not, is she opposed? She's not opposed in any way that it's significant. So she's not having to blow through money at this point, right?
She's just sitting back and watching him self-destruct.
Yeah. Do you think there's ever a point where, you know, I guess your point about Schumer earlier was interesting, that maybe there is something that's going to go on, you know, to get him off the ballot. But man, if he stays there, it'll be fascinating to me to see Democrats, you know, stick with him. But they're not backing off at this point, and I guess they still will. So I'll be very curious to see how this kind of plays out in the next few weeks.
You know, you're starting to see Grand Platner signs disappear, you know, as I drive through neighborhoods and, you know, in common areas that you used to say, oh, wow, there's a Platner sign. You're not seeing them right now. So I think people are quietly quitting him as much as the DNC is telling him to probably get out of the way here. I think it's hours. I really do. I think it's hours before you hear something.
I've never been to Maine. I had an invite years ago to go to Portland, Maine with some friends. I've heard it's beautiful. It's one of those things that we need to do at some point. And I have friends that have a place up in Portland. And then I can always call my old friend George W. Bush. Don't they still have a place up there in Kennebunkport,
right? Jonathan Bush is running for governor up here. So,
oh, yeah. Really? There's a connection there? Yeah. No. All right, John. Well, we'll keep in touch. Thank you so much for tonight. I appreciate it.
An honor to join you. Thank you.
John Featherston. He works for the Maine Journal. Okay, this is certainly, and I love to make things about me, so you know that. This is kind of a me thing that is just annoyed that probably a very few percentage of the audience would be annoyed by. But I mentioned it earlier, and the problem has been kind of solved by someone on Twitter. So they did, and this is weird because, honestly, last night I'm at the Cardinals game, and I was talking about the North Stadium renovations at Froh Field because I was with my friend Ken Dubinsky. He works with some of the athletes on some of the analysis stuff. He's been a guest on this show. And I said, hey, have you been there? I've been to Columbia in a few months.
Right.
I said, have you been there? And he's like, I haven't been in a few weeks, but I think they're going to have it ready. So then I go on STL Today, and Eli Hoff, who's the Mizzou beat writer, has a story on STL Today. And maybe I don't blame him because he's the reporter and the editors make these decisions. So I read the whole story, and Coach Drink is quoted about how you're going to be blown away by the north end zone. And there's not a picture in the entire story. Like, why couldn't someone take their iPhone and take a picture? Because just a few minutes ago, Ethan sent me this guy, David Blackwell, who is I guess he's a coach for Mizzou. He's got 18,000 followers, and he posted up, this is crazy, he took a picture of the north end zone, and he retweeted it. It's crazy. I actually, right now, look at this, Sue. I showed you. I have a visual.
Yes.
And by the way, it is amazing. Go to
looks
my Twitter,
nice.
At Mark Reardon KFTK. So they kept the M. You see what they did?
Yep.
You still have the M. There's grass around the M.
It looks nice.
And
it really
the
does.
End zone looks fantastic. But I'm like, sometimes, you know, and I've criticized media in this way on these issues. So whenever they talk about, think about the trans issue, right? And the media is losing on the trans issue, so they'll never really be honest about this. And the Post-Dispatch are amongst the worst. But they'll talk about book bans, right? And
yeah.
Gender Queer is that one book that always comes up. Why is it that the Post-Dispatch and the New York Times, they all have this capability? You know who uses it very well is the Wall Street Journal. You have drones, you have things that you can use, you have all this technology that you can use. But with Gender Queer, a print publication chooses to just paraphrase or write the quotes. Why not show an actual slide from the graphic novel where you're talking about oral sex? No. We wouldn't want to do that because then we'd alert the readers into the fact that people like me and those of us who are horrified by the trans movement are right. So they don't want to, I guess they won't let that be a lie. It's just unbelievable. I mean, it's such a simple thing. Put a damn picture in your story. Okay, thank you very much. A couple other things I wanted to pop off on here at the end of the show. Mark Wayne Mullen, who is now, you know, the director of Homeland Security, he was grilled on Capitol Hill today by, you know, a couple of different Democrats. You know how these things go. Now,
it's
a Republican committee because it's, you know, run by Republicans, but still the Democrats get their licks in here. And this is Delilah Ramirez.
So given ICE's standards and reports of decayed food confirmed by congressional oversight, would you retract your comments dismissing detainees' concerns about rotten food as a desire for ethnic food? Would you retract those comments?
I didn't say rotten food. I said they wanted ethnic correct food, and I said this isn't a Holiday Inn. We're not providing that. But
so
we did release
retracting.
A menu, and if you saw time, if you looked time to look at the
so
menu,
you're not retracting
you
your comments.
Food.
Okay. We need to abolish ICE, and we need to mantle DHS. And like I told your predecessor, Secretary, I wouldn't get comfortable because you have to be held accountable.
Oh, my God. Okay. First
for what?
Of all,
feeding them?
Yeah, exactly. for feeding them and treating them better than probably many people who are in this country legally. But what was interesting about, she's an Illinois Congresswoman, Delilah Ramirez. Here's what's interesting about her. I'm listening to some of this earlier on Fox, and she is going into great detail about this very gut-wrenching story. And it's a human story, so it can tug at the heartstrings. There's a person who is her constituent who is, and by the way, they never mention legal versus illegal, right? They have a migrant. She's got a migrant who has stage 4 cancer, right? And wants to see his parents, and his parents are in Mexico, wants to see his parents for the last time. And the parents are not granted the opportunity to do that. Now, I don't know anything more about that story, but here's what I do know. And here's what I did not hear from Delilah, because that was a really interesting story. And I think people would be prone to saying, man, that, why would you do that? That seems really, really mean, right? But what I didn't hear from Delilah Ramirez today was any mention of Laken Riley, who was murdered by an illegal at the University of Georgia campus, or Jocelyn Ungary, who was a 12-year-old girl who was murdered by an illegal in Houston, Rachel Morin, 37-year-old mother of five, murdered in Bel Air, Maryland, Sarah Root, killed in Omaha, Nebraska, Officer David Lee, right here in St. Louis, Missouri, killed by a migrant who was not supposed to be in this country. So all these gut-wrenching stories that you know that the media will highlight, but they won't touch on those stories, right? They don't want to give that type of, you know, play or an angle to a story, which is just disgusting.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
So I think I got to go back here to Marco Rubio, because he's just been so good on some of this stuff when it comes to Iran, and he's being grilled as well. He was asked about funding of the operation.
How much of this funding has been spent so far?
I don't have that figure in front of me, but I can tell you we're not going to fund puppet shows.
Can you get it for us?
Yeah, I'll get it for you, but I'm going to tell you the number of puppet shows were and all these other stupid things they were spending money on is going to be zero.
Yeah, because what was revealed in the early part of the administration is some of this USAID money that was going to ridiculous things that the taxpayers were paying for. Now, this next soundbite that I'm going to use for Cut of the Day, which involves Rubio and a lawmaker by the name of Sarah Jacobs, you might remember a little of the history of this, because Sue, this was just one segment I did about 2 months ago, and I never did ask, I don't know if I asked Eric Schmidt this, remember, it was a Wall Street Journal piece about Trump and Florsheim shoes, that he loved these
shoes. Oh, that's right.
They're not even like crazy expensive.
Yeah.
And he was buying people shoes.
Yes.
So we're in a war right now, and we're trying to get answers about that war, which, by the way, I think are legitimate. And this is the line of questioning.
You won't admit President Trump is losing this reckless war of choice. And just like you couldn't admit that the shoes the president bought you were too big.
Yeah, I don't know about the shoes. I mean, he gave me some Florsheim shoes. They're actually pretty good. They fit fine. I don't know what she's talking about. And maybe that's what she's referring to.
Your shoes look very nice today, Mr. Secretary.
Well, how can you see them? They're way down here.
Awkward.
We're talking about shoes. Are you guys kidding me? I mean, is this the Foreign Affairs Committee, or is this like a circus? What is this?
Yeah, that's my question. Thank you, Marco Rubio. I mean, what the hell? This is the you know, and so journalism, Scott Pelley, maybe he's got a little time. Maybe focus on that committee and say, why are we just talking about shoes when we can ask some serious questions about what's happening in Iran? But God bless the legacy media and the Democrats on Capitol Hill. We're going to wrap here for a Wednesday edition of the show. We'll talk tomorrow at 3.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep. it's key.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Kenan Thompson. Buy your car online on Auto Trader. Really.
Baseball has always been a game of inches. Now, it's also a game of seconds. T-Mobile and MLB have teamed up to bring ABS Challenge to all 29 ballparks across the U.S. This isn't a minor upgrade. This is the most significant new technology in the history of the sport, and it's powered by T-Mobile. With every pitch thrown, ABS Challenge uses real-time precision to verify the call, giving them the support they need. No delays, no guesswork, just accuracy at the speed the game demands. Thanks to ABS Challenge, T-Mobile is helping power the moments that define the game. When performance and reliability are non-negotiable, MLB turns to T-Mobile. That's not a coincidence. That's what happens when the most innovative network in the country powers the most data-driven sport in the world. T-Mobile powers MLB's most ambitious technology, and America's best network powers your connection to baseball, home or away, every pitch, every game, every day. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Major League Baseball trademarks and copyrights are used with permission of Major League Baseball. Visit MLB.com. T-Mobile, best mobile network in the U.S. According to Ookla speed test, based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2026. Ookla trademarks used under license and reprinted with permission.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team. But not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.